Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Why We Get Sick by Benjamin Beitman, PhD, is a popular science and health book about insulin resistance, metabolic dysfunction, and their possible role in modern chronic disease. Beitman, a biomedical scientist and professor whose research focuses on metabolism, obesity, diabetes, and insulin, presents insulin resistance as an under-recognized biological problem that can precede visible illness by many years. The book is written for general readers rather than specialists, but it draws on physiology, nutrition science, and clinical observations to explain how insulin affects fat storage, blood glucose control, inflammation, fertility, brain energy use, and cardiovascular risk. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical. Beitman argues that many chronic conditions are treated downstream after symptoms or abnormal glucose levels appear, while the underlying insulin problem may remain unmeasured. The book then proposes lifestyle strategies, especially carbohydrate restriction, fasting, exercise, and attention to dietary fats, as ways to improve metabolic health. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, insulin resistance as the central organizing idea behind chronic illness. The book is built around the claim that insulin resistance is not merely a feature of type 2 diabetes, but a broader metabolic disturbance connected to many common chronic diseases. Beitman defines the problem in physiological terms as a state in which tissues respond poorly to insulin, often leading the body to produce more insulin to maintain normal blood glucose. This framing matters because it shifts attention away from isolated diagnoses and toward a shared metabolic pattern: obesity, fatty liver disease, hypertension, polycystic ovary syndrome, cognitive decline, and type 2 diabetes are presented as conditions that can be influenced by impaired insulin signaling or chronically elevated insulin. The strength of this approach is that it gives readers a coherent map of diseases that often appear together in real life. Its limitation is that the unifying claim can sound broader than the scientific consensus supports, since chronic diseases usually have multiple causes, including genetics, age, environment, infection, behavior, and social factors. Even so, the book succeeds in making insulin resistance a concrete and clinically relevant concept rather than a niche laboratory term. Secondly, why normal glucose can hide an emerging insulin problem. One of the most useful distinctions in the book is between blood glucose and insulin. Routine medical screening often emphasizes fasting glucose, or ABAIC, but Beitman argues that these measures can remain normal while insulin levels are already rising. In this model, the pancreas compensates for reduced insulin sensitivity by secreting more insulin, keeping glucose within an acceptable range until the system begins to fail. The practical implication is that a person may appear metabolically normal on standard tests while already moving toward insulin resistance. This is important because early hyperinsulinemia may affect fat storage, hunger, triglycerides, blood pressure, and inflammatory pathways before diabetes is diagnosed. Beitman, therefore, encourages readers to think of insulin as a signal that directs energy use and storage, not simply as a hormone that lowers glucose. The book does not turn this into a full diagnostic manual, and readers should not self-diagnose complex metabolic conditions from symptoms alone. However, the emphasis on earlier metabolic markers helps explain why prevention can require more than waiting for glucose numbers to cross a clinical threshold. Thirdly, the disease connections are explained through metabolism rather than symptoms. Beitman connects insulin resistance to disease by following metabolic mechanisms, rather than organizing the discussion around separate symptom categories. In obesity, elevated insulin is presented as a signal that favors fat storage and restrains fat release. In fatty liver disease, excess energy and impaired insulin signaling are linked to abnormal fat accumulation in the liver. In type 2 diabetes, the book argues that the late visible problem of high glucose is preceded by years of compensatory insulin secretion. In brain health, Beitman discusses the idea that impaired energy metabolism may contribute to cognitive decline, including the popular description of Alzheimer's disease as type 3 diabetes, while recognizing the broader complexity of dementia. This mechanism-first structure is what makes the book distinctive among consumer health titles. Instead of treating each illness as unrelated, it asks what metabolic conditions make several diseases more likely to emerge together. The reasoning is valuable because it helps readers understand why waist size, triglycerides, blood pressure, glucose, and insulin can cluster. At the same time, these links are best read as risk pathways, not as proof that insulin resistance alone explains every case of disease. Fourthly, diet, inflammation, stress, and fat tissue are treated as interacting causes. The book does not present insulin resistance as appearing spontaneously. Beitman describes several contributors, with diet receiving the most attention. Frequent intake of refined carbohydrates and sugar is portrayed as a major driver because it repeatedly raises insulin demand, especially when paired with excess energy intake and low physical activity. He also discusses inflammation, stress hormones, smoking, disrupted sleep, and the quality of dietary fat as factors that can worsen insulin sensitivity. A recurring idea is that fat tissue is not passive storage. When fat cells enlarge beyond their healthy capacity, they may become inflamed and release fatty acids in ways that impair metabolic function in liver, muscle, and other tissues. This helps explain why visceral fat is especially concerning and why two people with the same body weight may have different metabolic risk. The book is strongest when it shows how diet, adipose tissue, and hormonal signals form a feedback loop. It is more debatable when particular dietary causes are framed too broadly, since population studies and clinical trials often show varied responses depending on food quality, calorie intake, genetics, and adherence. Lastly, the practical program aims to lower insulin exposure through daily habits. The solution section translates the metabolic argument into lifestyle advice. Beichmann emphasizes eating patterns that reduce unnecessary insulin exposure, especially limiting refined carbohydrates and added sugars. He is generally favorable toward low-carbohydrate and ketogenic approaches, while also emphasizing adequate protein and whole foods. Intermittent fasting is presented as another way to create periods of low insulin, allowing the body to rely more on stored energy. Exercise is treated as a complementary intervention because muscle contraction can improve glucose uptake and insulin sensitivity, even without major weight loss. The book also encourages attention to dietary fat quality, particularly reducing excessive omega-6 seed oil intake. Although this point is more controversial than the general recommendation to avoid ultra-processed foods, what makes the practical advice coherent is that each recommendation follows from the same physiological goal, improving insulin sensitivity and reducing chronic hyperinsulinemia. Readers should still adapt these ideas with medical guidance, especially if they have diabetes, take glucose-lowering medication, are pregnant, or have a history of eating disorders. The book is practical, but it is not a substitute for individualized care. In conclusion, Why We Get Sick is best suited for readers who want a clear explanation of insulin resistance and its relevance to metabolic health, especially people concerned about type 2 diabetes, obesity, fatty liver disease, cardiovascular risk, or family patterns of chronic illness. It will also interest clinicians, coaches, and scientifically curious readers who want a consumer-level synthesis of how insulin affects energy storage and disease risk. The practical benefit is that the book gives readers a usable framework for interpreting common health markers and for understanding why diet, fasting, exercise, and body fat distribution matter beyond simple weight control. Its intellectual benefit is the way it links separate diagnoses through shared metabolic mechanisms. Compared with many diet books, it spends more time explaining hormone physiology and less time selling a single meal plan. Compared with academic texts, it is more accessible and application-oriented. The book stands out because it focuses on insulin as an early and often overlooked signal, not just glucose as a late marker. And its main caution is that some claims are framed more strongly than many researchers would accept. So readers should treat it as a persuasive metabolic hypothesis with practical value, not as the final explanation for all chronic disease. If you would like to support Benjamin Bickman, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.